The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. So we're taking questions from listeners just like yourself, and we've heard lots of questions, but today's question seems unique to me. I really like the way this person is thinking. Check this out. They said, what happens to the old nature after salvation? You know, I've never heard anyone ask that particular question, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about it. Now, before we get to that discussion, by the way, I'd like to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up pretty soon. So you're going to want to go to our website and learn all you can about that. You can go to faithalone.org, click on events. You can even register right there on the site. We would love to see you there. It's a great time every year. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Sean. I'm here.
Hi, Sean.
And Bob, you're kind of here.
I have a mild cold, but
cold.
This is not COVID.
It's
this
not COVID. It's just
cold.
A cold. Those still exist.
I have a cold in my nose. Yes, I have a cold in my nose.
Those still exist, you know? It's like no one had a cold for about 2 years.
Look, I had COVID last May. It was Delta variant. Compared to that, this is like having a butterfly land on you. It's just no real big issue here.
Right. It's just a runny nose. And how do you know it was Delta variant? You're just making that up.
I made it up. Well, let's put it this way. There was no Omicron variant in May, so it had to be either the Delta or the original COVID. You know,
I don't remember Alpha, Beta.
No.
You know.
I used to work at Alpha Beta.
Yeah.
I was a box boy.
Is that a store?
It was a store in Southern California. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was.
It was a grocery store?
Yeah.
My first job was McDonald's as I was cashier. I wanted to be a cook, but they made me a cashier. The worst thing at McDonald's is the moms ordering for their kids. Because, you know, you go to McDonald's, you go, you order it, and you get whatever it is that they give you. At least that's what I thought. But once I started working there, I realized all the moms knew that you can customize your hamburger however you want. You can customize all those things however you want. And so these moms with like every little kid wanted their hamburger done a different way. And then I'd had to, this was like early 90s or mid 90s. And that was just so complicated. I hated it. And it would always end up wrong somewhere. There'd be an order wrong somehow. Too much ketchup or too little ketchup. And then it was just like, what are you going to do about it? And I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything about this. I'm a 16-year-old boy. I don't care about your hamburger having too much. I remember this one lady came and she had a muffin and she's like, there's not enough blueberries in this muffin. What are you going to do about it? And she showed me and I was like, it looked like a normal amount of blueberries, but she was like, she was so angry too. There's not enough blueberries in this muffin. Fine. Take another muffin. But it killed my faith. I started to believe in total depravity. All right, here's a question. How on earth did we start talking about that? Okay, this is a handwritten note. I don't have a name on it. It's off of some St. Jude note paper or something. It says, could you address the issue of the old nature? Some believe that it gets better automatically after a person is saved. I disagree. I think that you can control it by walking in the Spirit, but it is still able to commit any or every sin known to God and man. It can be controlled again by walking in the Spirit, but it will always be a nature that wants to sin because it was born in sin, and it is a sinning creation. And I don't know who asked that question.
All right. Well, this is a common issue that comes up a lot. And some people call it the old nature. Some people, I'm sure you've heard it called, Sean, the old sin nature.
Sin nature. I thought that was probably the first thing we should talk about, whether it should be called a nature at all, because I'm not even sure. I think Paul probably does talk about natures at some point in his epistle, but he's not like, here's a new nature, here's the old nature. That's not exactly his terminology.
No, he calls the old man and the new man, but never old nature, new nature. In fact, just an interesting historical point, when Zane Hodges was at Dallas Seminary, every year the faculty had to indicate their agreement with a doctrinal statement. And if they had any areas of disagreement, they were to state it in the margin and then put their initials. And if the difference was big enough, they would be let go. Well, every year Hodges would put, I don't agree with the two nature view. Okay. He said, in his view, the believer only has one nature, and that is our born of God self.
Yeah.
And the flesh is not a nature. The flesh is simply the old person we were.
Yeah.
It's an inclination to sin.
Yeah.
But the real me, the born of God part of me, never sins, 1 John 3:9.
So like other people would say, yeah, but, you know, Zane, that old you that still has an inclination to sin that still exists,
right,
let's call that a nature. But he was like, no, I don't want to call it a nature because that's not what the Bible calls
right.
it.
The Greek word for nature is phusis, and yeah, that word is never used to refer to the flesh. So
yeah,
I get Hodges' point, but Dr. Walver didn't feel that was a big point, and
yeah,
so Dr. Walver let him stay.
Let him stay.
And actually, what you're saying is right. There's really little practical difference, right?
I mean, there is a conceptual difference. You know, what we always want to do is stick to the words of Scripture as much as possible because, you know, this evangelical language always comes with hidden baggage that you don't always realize is there.
Well, here was Zane's concern. Zane Hodges had the concern that many believers view themselves as losers, as
okay,
people who are defeated and weak and unable to obey God. His view was that we should view ourselves at the core of our being as overcomers.
Yeah.
And if we live like who we are, we will overcome in our experience.
Yeah.
This idea that we're to think of ourselves as a worm or a wretch or whatever, well, that's who I was before I was born again. But once I'm born again, now I have the life of God within me. And whoever asked this question, I think they're on the right track when they say we can control it by walking according to the Spirit, except you're not controlling it. You can't control the old nature.
Yeah.
You can simply live by a different nature or live by a different impulse. That is, if we live according to who we are in Christ, then we're going to live righteously.
Right.
And if we live righteously, well, then we're walking in the Spirit. We're not walking in the flesh.
So Romans 6, 7, 8, these are the big chapters on this, and especially Romans 7, just this struggle that believers can have between the inner man or the law of the mind, you know, and the flesh, you know, or the outer man. And there is this real struggle there. And, you know, this question kind of reflects that struggle. But Paul certainly does seem to think that that doesn't need to be your normal situation. There is a Romans 8, walking in the Spirit, where the Spirit gives life to your mortal flesh instead of just being dead and just kind of in a stalemate in the spiritual struggle.
That's correct. So I think the question is basically on the right track, except I wouldn't think in so much in terms of controlling the flesh or the old nature as not living according to it. Remember in Romans
okay,
6, you're the slave of whoever you choose to obey.
Right.
Whether of sin leading to unrighteousness. How does that go? You got the verses there?
Yeah. Verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
So now, we are slaves of righteousness in our position.
In our position.
But in our experience, we may still act like slaves of unrighteousness, or we may act like slaves of righteousness. And so it's a matter of to whom we yield ourselves. And he points out in verses 20 and following that the fruit from being a slave of sin was things of which they're now ashamed. And
right,
the fruit of acting like who we are, a slave of righteousness, is something we are joyful about.
Yeah. So I guess Zane might be, in a way, someone could say, oh, he held to the one nature view, just the born again nature.
He did.
And some people criticize that view because they think, or at least some people who hold that view, think that when you're born again or experience a second work of grace, they call it, of entire sanctification, where the old nature is eradicated, now you can live above sin. And we would strongly disagree with that, and I think Zane would too.
He'd say absolutely.
He would say, that's not my position, because the flesh is at least tied to your body, your unregenerate mortal body in some way, And that doesn't get eradicated 2 seconds after you're born again. You live with that your whole life.
Right. Not only does it not get eradicated, but one of the questions this person was asking is, does it ever get better? No.
No, it doesn't get better. No. You can discipline your body.
Right. Okay.
Better.
But that's another thing, Sean. You mentioned mortal body earlier, and you mentioned body there.
Yeah.
The Greek word for body is soma. The Greek word for flesh is sarx.
Yeah.
And they're not the same. So the body contains both the born of God part of us and the flesh.
Yeah.
But the flesh is not normally used to refer to our body. Now, sometimes, sarc is used as a synonym.
Yeah, it is. It's used as a synonym.
The life I live in the flesh,
or
he means, in the body.
You know, we're related to Abraham in the flesh.
Right.
There's a certain, it can be used that way, but it's not, you're right. The flesh is more than just the body. It's everything you were apart from Christ.
Whenever you see the term flesh as sinful inclinations, that's different than soma, body.
And I think that's important because a lot of people do grow up in holiness traditions where they think, oh, I'm not really born again if I still have these feelings of sin, because that should have been eradicated out of my life the moment I believed in Jesus. And that isn't eradicated out of my life. So maybe I didn't believe hard enough, or I didn't really believe because I'm still struggling with sin. We would say that's a completely different issue. That's a sanctification issue. This is not a justification issue.
And right. And that's the whole fallacy of looking to your works for assurance. That doesn't work, because your works are imperfect. Even if you're walking in the Spirit, you still sin, right? 1 John 1, verse 7, or 1 John 1, 8, 1 John 1, 10, and we still confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9.
Yeah.
So even the believer walking in the light is not sinless.
Yeah.
He's just sinning less and less and less, and he's living out righteousness.
So sin less, but not sinless.
Right.
Maybe just end with the word of hope. There is coming a day when we will get new bodies as believers. Jesus will give us completely new, regenerate, glorified bodies. And there's going to come a day where Jesus removes sin completely out of creation, completely, so that we will live in a sinless creation in sinless bodies, and we won't be able to sin, and it'll just be good and holy forever and ever for all eternity.
That'll be cool.
I'm looking forward to that.
Right. That's 2 Corinthians 5:1-8. We're groaning until that occurs.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what happens if someone stops believing for salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.